Let's turn together to Proverbs chapter 18. And it just happens, this will be the last message, of course, in Proverbs 18, and if there were a final message I would want to leave you with, it just happens in God's providence that this would probably be it. And I think you'll see why in a bit. But it's Proverbs chapter 18, and we will be finishing it off. Believe it or not, we're coming today for the last time to it. It's a hard chapter, but a good one, a powerful chapter. We've seen that Solomon said in Ecclesiastes that he pondered, searched out, and arranged many proverbs. So he's signaling that these aren't just a random grocery list of proverbs. There's an arrangement there. And we've seen that indeed, each chapter is kind of thematic. There are all these incredible flashes of insight, but then there are these constellations that stand out of instruction on different themes or topics. And we have seen here that the first and the last verses give us the cue. The first verse, he who separates himself seeks his own desire and quarrels against all sound wisdom. That's a private person. And he said the extreme of that personality type is very dangerous. And then in the last verse, verse 24, he says, a man of many friends comes to ruin. That's a public person. And the extreme of that personality type is very dangerous. And so these two types that are fore and aft in the chapter helped us to organize kind of the database of the chapter. Many verses relate directly or indirectly to those two overall ideas. And so today we're going to look at the remedy for both extremes of these types, these perilous personality poles. And all of us can flip into the extreme of who we are, to be overly private, overly public, or whatever. We've seen so far pitfalls of the public life and then pitfalls of the private life. We've seen this happens when we allow our weaknesses to run unchecked, and so we have these perilous personality poles. But having looked at the pitfalls, now it's time to look at the issue of prevention, and that is the prevention of the polarized life. Now, we've mentioned several preventive measures over the last several weeks, but Solomon himself prescribes one in this chapter that I'd like to focus on today to conclude this series. In many ways, it gets to the root of the issue, because though the socialite and the solitaire are moving in opposite directions, it's often for the same reason. Typically, it's security that they're after. The only question is how they find it, by running away from people or running to people. By avoiding them on one hand, or clinging to them, or maybe controlling them too much on the other hand. But whoever you are, the solution, the prescription against the polarized life, the prevention that will maintain your balance, whatever your personality happens to be, is in the pursuit of God, we're going to see tonight. To find your basic refuge, not with others, nor just with yourself, but with Him alone. Neither by running away from people or to them, but rather, and here it is, Proverbs 18:10, by realizing what it means that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. That's where we'll end up today. But you can't get there from here, as someone told me when I was asking for directions once when we first got to Vermont. And truly, you can't get there from here in Vermont. You've got to go all these roundabout ways, right? And we've learned to love those ways. To get there, to get to the tower of God, we need to understand something about, first, briefly, the cities of man. Because Solomon contrasts in this chapter the tower to the city, as we're going to see. And the one will help us to connect with the other. When we see what happens in the cities, we'll want to be in the tower. First, the city. To give you an overview before we jump in, the city is the place where we find safety in numbers or safety in solitude. Cities are artificial places that protect us, you might say, from the wilds of God's providence. Walls that establish zones of safety. Proverbs 18:11, a rich man's wealth is his strong city. And again, Solomon says in verse 19 that a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. So this is where we'll begin, because the tower of God will sound pretty mystical and not too applicable unless we first understand how real the cities are in which we've chosen to live and move and have our very being sometimes. cities kind of being a metaphor for a kind of safety. Now, the city is a good picture of many fleshly things, but in the context of the two types, it's a picture of this. It's a picture of our reluctance to move beyond our comfort zone of our temperamental strengths, to move into realms of obedience that require trust and risk in areas of our weakness. It's the place where our greatest assets will become our greatest liabilities. The city. The image goes way back. I find it interesting that the sin of Babel was that they built a city. They built a city and a tower, as it says in Genesis 11:4, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. They didn't want that. That was too insecure. Wasn't powerful enough. In direct defiance of God's command that they fill the earth and populate it. Safety in numbers was their God. Safety in cities. Like it can become the public person's God. The cities of man connote independence rather than dependence. Urbanites are the ones who say, as James says, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. That's what's going to happen. Now, farmers would never be that presumptuous. Cities make you that way. They make you that way in a lot of ways. Now, really, all along in this series, we've been exploring the cities of man. We don't have time to get into it tonight, but comfort zones where we feel secure that become perilous personality poles. The hermit is secure if he's in withdrawal. The socialite is secure when he's in company or in control or just in with the in people. Both are safe ends, selfish ends by different means. The private person says, I'm not going to give you a chance to dislike me, so see you later. That's what I did for years. Public person says, I'm going to make you like me, so stick around. Some of us need new friends because we've never had old friends. We're wrapped up in the city, the coffin of our selfishness. Others need new friends because in their cities, they're cannibals who have devoured all their old friends. So all along, in some ways, we've been exploring this and our need to break out of those. And we don't have time tonight, but let's turn then from the cities of man to the tower of God. If the cities of man, if in those cities there's either safety in numbers or safety in solitude, then in the tower of God, wherever you are, whomever you're with, whatever you're doing, undergirding it all, there is safety in secret. And it's a beauteous thing. It's a miraculous thing. Safety in secret. Because the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. It's in secret. How so? Well, to begin with, let's put it in context. Because it's in contrast to many other things. And especially to the city. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. It's like a high wall in his own imagination. Again, he's addressing the issue of security and where you find it. Will it be in the city or the tower? The answer to that question will depend on a good degree on what you're expecting to see. Because these two verses are kind of in sharp relief. What you can see and feel on one hand and what you can only know by faith and secret on the other. A rich man's wealth is his strong city, like a high wall in his own imagination. That is, the cities of man are visible but imaginary, fleeting. The tower of God, on the other hand, is invisible, in secret, but real. Takes faith, not sight. Now this only stands to reason as we move back to verse 10, the key verse, and unpack it word by word. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And of course, a name is, you can't see a name. It's only heard. It's only spoken. God is heard but not seen through his name. He makes himself audible through his name, but not visible. He stays an inapproachable light, as Paul said, but still, through the veil, he speaks. The name of the Lord is very simply the sum total of all that God has said about himself in the Bible. It's shorthand for all that he's revealed about himself. It's not a picture yet. That will come in glory. But rather, it's kind of like the soundtrack of a film, and you can't see the film. In the dark theater of our prayer closet. John said that no man has seen God at any time, but saints down through the centuries, however they do it, have known him by name in their strong tower. So to begin with, this is obviously quite a contrast that Solomon is drawing here in Proverbs 18, verse 10 and 11, between the tower and the city. Between the visible but imaginary and the invisible but real. Because in the city, there's imagined safety, either safety in numbers but solitude, but in the tower, wherever you are, whomever you're with, whatever you're doing, whether by yourself or with others, there's safety in secret. And we've got to get into what it means to be in secret. The saints down through the centuries have found. Psalm 27:5, for in the day of trouble he will conceal me in his tabernacle. I'm still in a day of trouble, but I'm concealed. In the secret place of his tent he will hide me. Psalm 31:20, thou dost hide them in the secret place of thy presence. You keep them secretly in the shelter. Proverbs 18:10, the righteous run into the tower and are safe. So, the tower is a secret place that will by definition kind of not be available to the light of science. Of what you can see, hear, touch, or taste. And it will confound the wisdom of the wise. But it's a place of refuge that we can find. So how do you find it? That's the question. Well, here's what it looks like in practice. Here's how it happened to me once. I was out back in Colorado about 3 years ago. And I have a bunch of friends who I mountain bike with, and most of them are young bucks, and so they keep me humble. I can barely keep up. A couple of them are older, my age, and so that makes it a little easier. But we had decided to do Monarch Pass, which is way above Timberline, to the west of Dillon, and so we spent the night in the cabin, and the break of dawn we get up and go way up above Timberline to Monarch Pass, and it's an out and back of 20 miles, so 10 miles out, 10 miles back, and it was perfectly clear skies, and they had checked the weather, no problem. So we go for 10 miles, and then you got to turn around and come all the way back, and as we were coming back, you know, you could kind of see the clouds coming in, and pretty soon the clouds were all around us, and pretty soon the wind started to blow, and it was very moist wind. And then after that, it started to sprinkle. And then it started to rain. And then it started to hail. And the wind started to blow harder. And this young buck behind me, I mean, I was just panting, trying to get back, and it was a hard ride. He took the opportunity to start asking a pastor about his married life. And so here I am, you know, sucking air through a straw, and he's jabbering away behind me, asking me all these questions, you know, and it feels like our life is in our hands. And then the lightning starts. He says, oh, by the way, Brian, if you feel your hairs stand up on end, you've got 3 seconds to tuck and roll before you get hit. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, what have we gotten ourselves into? And so we are just pedaling away. We got like 6 miles to go. And as we, you know, I was just resisting and I was saying, Lord, help me. That's the first thing. Call on the name of the Lord. Right? Remember Romans 10, and you shall be saved. Lord, help me. Arrow prayer. That's all we're capable of sometimes. And soon thereafter, this song starts to go through my mind. I need thee every hour. Most gracious Lord, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. And that just went over. I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. Come to me. And it made this started to make this subtle but powerful difference until we were about 3 miles to go, and it was like I was in this virtual reality envelope. And everything was the same all around me. But in secret, I was sheltered. And he was there as I called upon him. And the name of the Lord became a strong tower that I'll never forget. That's one thing that it looks like. Another is you find it all through the Psalms, and that's kind of the best way. If you turn to Psalm 35, or 31. When you can't do it yourself, and you all know this, you piggyback on the psalm and you can find shelter in the Lord, because the psalmist is finding shelter in his own affliction. So you've got Psalm 31. Let's just read it. Maybe you're going through something now, so let's practice running into our strong tower. Psalm 31, starting in verse 1. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me quickly. Be to me a rock of strength, a stronghold to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead me and guide me. You will pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. For you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. Down to verse 14. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. He probably wasn't trusting, but he professed it, and it came. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face to shine upon your servant. Save me in your loving kindness. Let me not put to shame, O Lord, for I call upon you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them be silent in Sheol. And he's getting some stuff off his chest now, which is good. You can do it with God, not with people, right? Let the lying lips be mute, which speak arrogantly against the righteous, with pride and contempt. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. You hide them in the secret place of your presence. He is in the secret place of his presence right now. From the conspiracies of men, you keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues or from the strife of storms. Blessed be the Lord. For he has made marvelous his loving kindnesses to me in a besieged city. Now he's looking back to stir up his faith for the present situation. He's looking at what he did in the past. As for me, I said in my alarm, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried to you. And you can do it again. Oh, love the Lord, all you his godly ones. And so now he's in the virtual reality of the tower. His spirit is at peace. For the Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompenses the proud doer. Be strong and let your heart take courage, just like has happened to me here. All you who hope in the Lord. The name of the Lord is indeed a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are saved. What does it look like? My mother was one who knew how to do this better than anyone I have ever met. Having been twice widowed, she had an instinct for finding the safety of the tower wherever she was. And you entered into his presence just by being with her sometimes. Whatever she was feeling, she ran there day and night. She was so well conditioned that she could get there from almost anywhere, even to her older years, no matter how far from it she might have felt. Many are using her 31 Days of Praise, a book that has sold over 4 million copies, because this is something that people are thirsty for today and that we need more than ever. Let me just read to you day one. Here's another way you can piggyback on this. My heart rejoices in you, Lord, for you are my strong shelter in times of trouble and danger and stress, my hiding place to whom I may continually resort, my Father who lovingly provides for me, my shepherd who guides and protects me, my champion who upholds my cause as his child and defends my highest interests, my bridegroom who delights in me, my God who is mighty to save, who rests in his love for me and rejoices over me with singing, with shouts of joy. You are my inheritance, my share in life. the one who satisfies my longing soul and fills my hungry soul with goodness. I praise you for your love and your wisdom. You are too wise to ever make a mistake, too loving to ever do anything unkind. You act on my behalf, accomplishing what concerns me and fulfilling your purpose for me as I call on you. Thank you that you love me deeply and tenderly. You are compassionate and gracious, full of loving kindness, ready to forgive, patiently considerate, and generous beyond imagining. You desire my love and rejoice to do good things for me. You delight to give me the desires of my heart as I delight myself in you. How precious is your love to me, O God. I sing for joy as I take refuge in the shadow of your wings. And then she closes with a verse. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. The name of the Lord is secret. You can't see it. It's foolishness to the world, but it is a strong tower. And the righteous, by faith, run into it and are safe. There's so many ways of doing this, so many ways of looking at it. Really, finding refuge in Him, to put it as simply as possible, is all about the Word and prayer. The Word and prayer. So, let me give you one final example, and that is Doug Warren. This comes from question one of I think it was the level two questionnaire. There were a lot of questions there, weren't there? But you were very patient. And these are two of the things that most impressed me. Of course, much of all of it did for all of us. But question, and they have to do with the Word and prayer. One, describe the importance of the Bible in your life, then go into more detail about when and how you interact with Scripture. And for this, we allowed 150 words. For most of the others, it was just 50. Because this is important. The Bible is both my most reliable revealer of truth and the dearest expression of my Savior's love for me. That's right out of 31 Days of Praise. Scripture is God's supernatural word. It leads me in knowing God and myself. So I read it daily and meditate on it, study and pray through it. I sing songs with its words and point others to what it says to help them in their daily life. It is what my wife and I have used to teach our children what it means for them to grow in the way they should go. The Scriptures direct me in my words, thoughts, and actions. I seek to follow the Bible's admonitions, and I treasure its promises. We treasure the Bible in the tower. Boils down to the Word and prayer. What about prayer? Well, prayer was the first question of the third questionnaire. Pretty important. Describe the importance of prayer in your life, then go into more detail about when, how, and what you pray. 150 words allowed. Prayer is vital. It demonstrates the relational aspect of our communion with God and redemption and is reconciliation. And redemption is reconciliation at its core. When things are good in a relationship, we talk easily and deeply. We laugh and cry and share our innermost thoughts out loud with one another. He's talking about prayer. It reminds me of my mom. So too with God. My prayer life is good and indicates a healthy relationship. When I am remembering Christ's complete sacrifice, that I am perfectly loved by my King, that our relationship is fully reconciled, then I find myself praying throughout the day and giving Him the credit He deserves in all of life. And like my other relationships, I also have to work on communicating well. I'm glad I'm not the only one, Doug. I have to nurture and cultivate praying when I don't feel like it. I need to pray especially when it feels like my prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. That really helped me that day, because that's what it felt like. So I discipline myself to pray each morning. I block out time to pray systematically. I pray through Scriptures, Word and prayer. That's powerful. I meditate on them. There's much more, but let me conclude with this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The blessed Matthew Henry, a great devotional writer, wrote about this verse, Proverbs 18:10, succinctly but powerfully. So we'll let him have the last word. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Here is, one, God's sufficiency for the saints, and two, the saints' security in God. First, God's sufficiency for the saints. His name is a strong tower for them, in which they may take rest when they are weary and take sanctuary when they are pursued, where they may be lifted up above their enemies and fortified against them. There is enough in God and in the discoveries which He has made of Himself to us to make us easy at all times. The wealth laid up for us in this tower is enough to enrich them, to be a continual feast and a continuing treasure to them. The strength of this tower is enough to protect them. The name of the Lord is all that whereby He has made Himself known as God and our God, not only His titles and attributes, but His covenant and all the promises of it. These make up a tower, a strong tower, impenetrable, impregnable for all God's people. Two, the saint's security in God. It is a strong tower to those who know how to make use of it as such. The righteous, by faith and prayer, devotion toward God and dependence on Him, run into it as their city of refuge. Having made sure their interest in God's name, they take comfort and benefit of it. They go out of it themselves, retire from the world, live above, dwell in God, and God in them, and so they are safe. They think themselves so, and they shall find themselves so. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. So, which will it be? Safety in numbers? Safety in solitude? Or safety in secret? The safety in secret that's ultimately the only sure prevention of the polarized life of being too withdrawn or too much in public. God gives balance when you're in Him. And if there's any message I'd leave you with, it's that one. Don't neglect your tower. My prayer for all of you, in fact, Julian, my prayer is the same as Christ's prayer in John 17. Before He left His disciples, He said, "While I was with them, I was keeping them in Thy name. I was keeping them in Thy name, which Thou hast given me, and I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. Holy Father," He prayed, "keep them in Thy name."